Let us open our Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel account given us by John, first chapter, and we'll read the first 18 verses. Last Lord's Day, with the beginning of Advent, we began an Advent series on the prologue. That's what it's called, the first 18 verses, the introduction of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The text for this morning's sermon is the verses 4-9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Dear congregation, what is it that you have found in yourself? What have you discovered about yourself in this past week? And what have you found and discovered about the Lord Jesus? A week of preparation for the Lord's Supper is meant to bring us to answer those two questions. Have you discovered death and darkness in yourself? That is humbled, and have you also discovered life and light in Christ? That's what our text says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that's why you can write over the sermon this morning, Christ, the life and light. Christ, the life and light. We'll see, first of all, the person he is, secondly, the work he does, and thirdly, the witness he has. Christ, the life and light. First of all, the person he is, secondly, the work he does, and thirdly, the witness he has. Yes, there is this great glory about the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel writer John shows us something of that glory as he introduces us to the person and work of Christ. And there is this glory about Him, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. There's this glory about Him, in, as we saw last Lord's Day, in His identity, and in His eternity, and in His community, and in His deity, and in His activity. But there's more to His glory yet. And boys and girls, I hope and pray that the memory work for the Christmas program is a blessing to you too, so that you can learn about the Lord Jesus. And here we're told in verse 4 that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That the person He is. Well, who is He? That's what John is answering here. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's look at these two things. In Him was life. Now, maybe we don't find that too remarkable, because, well, don't we have life too? Yes, we exist. We're breathing creatures. But we don't have this life in and of ourselves. He does. He has life in Himself, as He says in John 5, verse 26, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." He has life in Himself. We don't. We have life given to us. We come. We go. We're not self-sustaining. We're not self-dependent. We depend entirely on the giver of life. We depend entirely on God. He gives us our breath. He holds us by His hands. In Him we live, move, and have our being. Acts 17, verse 29, He gives life, He takes life. And you see, we depend for life on others. We depend on life from our parents, maybe, but ultimately from God. But God does not depend on anyone else for His life. The Father has life in Himself. The Son has life in Himself. The Spirit has life in Himself. And here the focus is on the Son of God, who has this life in Himself. Self-dependent, self-sustaining. As Psalm 36 sings, the fountain of eternal life is in Him. You see what that says to us? If we feel ourselves physically weak, which we do at times, and if we feel ourselves spiritually dead and lifeless, maybe you felt that in this past week, maybe for the first time, or maybe you felt it again, and eternal life, the life that is in Christ, feels so far away and it seems out of reach for you. And yes, maybe you felt that this past week. Well, our text says this life is in Jesus. He's the Lord and giver of life, not just a physical life, but also spiritual life. He makes the soul that is by nature dead in trespasses and sins, He makes that soul alive and brings it to pant for God and to see His need for the Lord Jesus and the glory in the Lord Jesus. And eternal life, it's all given by Him. Eternal life that awaits God's people. This life is in Him, and this life is from Him. Colossians 3, verse 4, "And He, Christ, who is our life," it says. Is He so for you? He who says on the pages of Scripture, John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that life is only found in Me. Who says on the pages of Scripture, John 10, verse 10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Do you come to Him for this life? The life of being embraced as the prodigal son was embraced by the Father. And the Father says, "This My Son was dead, but He's alive again, and he's alive again in the Father's embrace, in the love that's poured out, in the grace that is shown. The life in Jesus, because he is the life. And he's also the light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The one who is the life and brought life is also the light, and he brings light. Without him we're darkness, without him we're ignorant, and if we have any light at all, it must come from outside of ourselves. And maybe you find yourself in the dark this morning. And then it is that the Son of Righteousness rises this morning with healing in his wings, the Jesus who is the light of the world. And maybe you find yourself in the dark and needing the light of Jesus. You know, there are people who speak about having inner light. This inner light inside of everyone, they say. But that's not true. It's true that we have the light of reason, and we have the light of conscience, and the light that tells us what's right and wrong. And we all have, the heathen have, a knowledge of God in their soul, and a knowledge of good and evil, the law written on our hearts, Romans 2 verse 15 says, but it all comes from Jesus, John says. And the light that we were given in creation has been distorted. In the fall into sin, we've distorted that light, we've twisted that light, and you felt it again this past week, the twistedness and the darkness that we bring upon ourselves because of our sin, if it's right, you're people of God. And we only have glimmerings of that original light. And the light in us is darkness. And that's because we will not worship our Creator, and we do not love the Redeemer, and we do not seek the grace of the Renewer by nature. You see, we need more than the light of our conscience, and more than the light of reason, and more than just some glimmerings of light. We need the saving light that's in Christ. And that's who John will introduces us to. The light of the world. Who does something. That's the second point. There's the person he is, but there's also the work he does. The work he does, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. That the light shines in darkness, in the darkness of our world. That's not flattering, I know, to say that about our world, to say that about you and me by nature, that we are dark, and that the world in which we live is a dark place. It's in darkness, and in the darkness of sin, and the darkness of unbelief, and the darkness of ignorance. I do not mean to say that there are no clever people in our world, and that there are no smart people, and that people cannot have great education. There are smart, clever people, and advances are made in technology. People have flown to the moon. But people are in the dark about the most important things. People don't know what they're doing. People don't know where they're going. People don't know how to live. People don't know how to die. And they don't know what will happen to them after they die. And they don't understand the value of their soul and the future of heaven and hell and forgiveness of sins and the life that's in Christ. And so we're in the dark by nature, headed towards this place of eternal darkness. But in this spiritually dark world shines the light of the child of Bethlehem. The light of Christ in the gospel. And the message of hope is heard through the gospel. And the light of Christ shines in our dark world. And what a blessing when that light penetrates into darkened minds. And when light goes on in darkened hearts. Charles Wesley sings, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Yes, what a blessing when that happens. But by nature, that's not the result. John is honest when he writes, The light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. And then John uses a special word here. A word that can mean comprehend. It also can mean apprehend. It has not only the meaning of understanding, it also has the meaning of overcoming. This, not only did the world not comprehend it, they couldn't apprehend it. This seizing with hostile intent in order to snuff it out and do away with it. Both are true. Let me first say that darkened hearts don't comprehend the light. Isn't that true of you and me by nature? And the dark world doesn't understand the light, doesn't understand Jesus, doesn't understand the gospel. John 3, we meet a man, Nicodemus, comes to Jesus by night, a master in Israel, one of the brightest theologians in his day, one of the most brilliant people of his day. And as Jesus speaks to him about the new birth, he doesn't understand it. Maybe that's how you sit here, as someone who doesn't understand the basics of the gospel. You're still in the dark. You don't comprehend it. But I also said it can also mean that the darkness cannot apprehend it, that the darkness cannot overcome it and seize it and put it out. You see, that's what the darkness wants to do. John 3 verse 30 says that the darkness hates the light. The world doesn't receive the light of the gospel. It doesn't receive the light of salvation. It doesn't receive the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in our world around us. We see that in the church. We sometimes become afraid. Will the darkness prevail in our nation? Will it prevail in our world? Will it prevail in our community? Will the darkness swallow up the light? But then verse 4 says, no, it will not succeed. It can't apprehend it. It can't overcome it. It seems like it will, but it never will. Just as in nature, the darkness of the night cannot keep back the light of the day, so it is in our world, and that's true in the individual believer too. The darkness cannot overcome the light of the gospel in your soul. The darkness of sin. The darkness of our own failings and fallings. The darkness of hell. The darkness of death. Dear child of God, cannot put out the light of Jesus in your life, because the light conquers. The light prevails. The light triumphs. It can overcome your darkness this morning. His eye can diffuse a quickening ray. Yes, even this morning, exposing you to the darkness, but also revealing himself as the light in his death and in his resurrection. That spells hope. It says there's life for someone like you. And light. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it and cannot apprehend it. Why is that? Well, that's our third point. Because of the witness he has. The witness he has. Why will the darkness not succeed? Well, because the Lord will have witnesses in his world. And here John the evangelist tells us about the first New Testament witness, John the Baptist. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man. Yes, that's all he was. Or, as he says of himself, that he is a voice crying in the wilderness. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself. After all, he must decrease and Christ must increase. And this man has been commissioned by the Lord. He's been called by God. He's even been prepared by God. And And that's what his father Zacharias was told, and it's what Zacharias sings about, and it's what Zacharias names him, John. The Lord is gracious, is what it means. What was his mandate? What was his task? It was to bear witness of the light. He was not that light. The evangelist says that specifically, but he came to bear witness of that light. Did you notice the focus of his witnesses was not himself? There are some people in their witnessing that draw more attention to themselves, that focus on themselves, and people begin to think that this witness is important. But that dishonors the true light, which is Jesus. The focus of his witness must not be on you and me. The focus of this witness was not John the Baptist. The focus of the witness was Christ. The focus of the witness wasn't even the darkness of the world. John didn't go about speaking just about the darkness of the world. Of course, an effective gospel witness must mention sin, must speak of the darkness of sin and the guilt of sin. But the focus of the witness is not sin or man's lost state. But the focus of his witness is the Lord Jesus. Has to be. In the preaching too. In our witness too. The one who delivers from sin, the one who is the light, the true light that came into the world. And why is that witness given? What's the goal that the forerunner had in bearing witness to Christ? Verse 7, that all men through him might believe. Faith is the aim. Simple faith in Jesus is the aim. Faith that sinners might believe. After all, that's how sinners partake of the salvation. And John will repeat this at the end of his gospel. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's why the witness is given, that we might believe, friends. We partake of salvation not by our works. Maybe you thought that this past week I have to bring something, I have to do something, I have to merit something. But no, faith means we lose all our merits, because our merits are but filthy rags. And we come to another, and we look to another who is the light and the life. I'm all darkness within. He's the light. I'm all death within, but he is the life. And that's how the witness wants to draw to the light and draw sinners to that light. And notice there's nothing stingy in the gospel or narrow-minded here. The evangelist doesn't say that as few as possible might believe, that just a handful of people might believe. No. Same as that all through him might believe. There's this universal scope to the gospel. No, he doesn't say that all will be saved. That's not, but his burden is that men and women everywhere would embrace him, as great and small sinners, rich and poor sinners, boys and girls, men and women. And that's why his disciples are to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, calling for repentance and calling for faith. But how will they come to that repentance and how will they come to that faith? That all men, our text says, through him might believe. Through him, whether that means that they believe through the power of Christ, the grace of Christ, or whether that means that they believe through the instrument of the witness, through the instrumentality of the messenger, both are true. And the means are important, the instrument is important, the witness God uses, faith cometh by hearing. But is it not especially so that The grace and power of the Lord Jesus by His Spirit works this faith and repentance, yes, bringing us to an end in ourselves so that we come to hope in no one else but Jesus only. The witness He has. Friends, is it not true that the reason why we're here is because of the witness of someone? And if you're a believer, is it not true that you're a believer because of the witness of someone, that you've come to trust in Jesus? Maybe the Lord used the witness of your father, witness of your mother, witness of a friend, someone inviting you to church. Maybe you were irritated by their witness, but there was also something inside that admired the witness, and by their words and by their lives, they were pointing away from themselves. And that's what I may do this morning. Pointing away from you and me to someone else. Jesus, the Lamb of God. John will point to Him. Behold Him. John is the first New Testament witness pointing to Christ as the only Savior. And you want to commend Him to everyone, don't you? And that's how God's people are drawn to the table, by the witness of another about the Lord Jesus. That you come needing Him so much and desiring Him and trusting in Him and wanting to live for Him and follow Him. And that's how those who trust in Jesus are welcome at His table. Finding yourself in the midst of death, but drawn to Him who is the life. Maybe finding yourself in the midst of darkness, but drawn to Him who is the light. And so you witness of Him this morning, and you say, coming to the table, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to Thy cross I cling. Amen.